Man, y'all in the groove yet? Because some of you were brought here today. I want to remind you, you were brought here today so that you might meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, that's the sole reason. If you're sitting here today going, man, I wonder why I'm in church today. There's a distinct possibility that you were brought here today to meet Jesus Christ. So, man, it's great to see everybody here. I want you to get a word in your head right now. Restore. Restore. It's similar to reset, reboot, restore. Restore. God is a God of restoration. He restores us to what He created us to be. Go with me to Galatians 6, but we're going to get the last verse of 5, okay? It's all about living. It's all about living. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, here's what you're really confessing. I want to live in God's lifestyle. I want to live with the power of God. I want to be restored to what God has made me to be. Now, these things are possible. How many? Bobby, you live a restored life.
Amen.
I live a restored life. Anybody else in here live a restored life?
Amen.
This is a restored life. You're not what you used to be. How many of y'all are not what you used to be? This is the great rhythm of the faith. I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not yet what I'm going to be. So I better be okay for the moment with who I am. God, take me where I need to be. Now, let me give you some first truth. You will not save yourself. You say, well, man, you go over that every week. I wonder why. I go over that every week because guess what people try to do every week? They try to save them. Why? Try to save themselves. I hear it over and over. Well, Pastor Ayers, I'm going to get baptized after I get cleaned up. That makes about as much sense as cleaning up before you take a bath. How many of y'all clean up before you take a bath? You say, well, that don't make a lick of sense. Neither does that. What's this? Your life will get better in Jesus. How many of y'all that far along? I just told you the truth. Your life will get better in Jesus. Now, I want us to take on this attitude. Church, I want to call you today to step on into the spiritual life. A lot of you have come to Christ, and now it's time to take that step that says, what does it mean to really follow Jesus? What is one attitude that Jesus always has? And that's this. No matter how far away you are from Christ, He wants to bring you to where you can be. Do you understand that? No matter how much you've messed up, God wants to heal you so you can live the life He's created for you. Does this make sense? Now, this ought to be the heartbeat of our church. Hillview, I'm excited. I can say this about this church. I can say this with all integrity. Hillview, we are a church that believes people ought to get better no matter where they've been. How many of y'all agree with that statement? Watch this. We're going to welcome you as you are so you don't have to stay there. Now, this would be a sorry church. What if we said we're going to welcome you as you are and just keep living in that mud hole? Now, Tommy, would that be grace? That's not grace. Grace takes you to where God wants you to be so you can get out of where you got yourself. So, restoration, you got it? Now, this ought to create an attitude. How many of y'all want somebody else to get better because you breathe? This is going to be crazy because guess what? Most of us, whose life do you care about more than anybody else's? Now, be honest. Don't give me a little Sunday school answers. Whose life do you care about more than anybody else's? Yours. Watch this. How many of y'all are concerned about an oil spill right now? It's on TV. It doesn't really bother. I guarantee you, if every one of us was a bunch of shrimpers in here and we grown up shrimping, like, you know, bubblegum shrimp, if that's what we did was shrimp, we had shrimp businesses. I guarantee you all of us would be praying for that today. Why? Thanks me. Now, 6 months from now, everybody be praying for it when your gas is $7 a gallon. Then everybody be concerned because it's affected what? Me. Now, that's the way we usually do life. When it touches me, we get fervent about it. And as long as it's bothering you, we're not too concerned about it. So let's really look. We ought to care for one another. How many of y'all believe that's something those who follow Christ ought to do? Well, I want you to do something, if you don't mind. I want you to look at somebody close to you. They don't have to be right beside you, but somewhere near you. And I want you to just look at them and say, we're going to get better. Okay, I want you to just feel that. We're going to get better. We're going to get better, Susan. We're going to get better. Where's my Bible? Here, this one says the same thing mine does. Galatians chapter 5, last verse. Let's get this attitude. Be careful. I'm going to tell you something that kills you. Man, I love this service because all you young people in here. If y'all get rid of this real early, you'll live a lot better. Things that'll kill you. Conceit and envy will kill you. Now, I really want you to get this. Look at this last verse. Verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Envying each other. Now, how many of y'all are glad you got your life? Come on, raise your hand if you're glad you got your life. What other life do you have? You just got yours. But watch this, the scripture is very clear. He said, hold on, be careful. Be careful. Don't become conceited and provoke each other and start envying each other. How many of us envy somebody else's ride? Their life. Watch this, some of y'all do this. You go, well, man, I wish I had a wife like that. It's just like one you got. They're all women. You bring them home, they're all like women. Some of y'all go, oh, I wish I had a man like that. You get him home, guess what? It's just like the one you had. It's men and what? Women. You know what makes a difference? Is how you will respond. Really is. But we got a lot of people that envy other people's lives. They go, man, I wish I had a child like that. What if you said this? What if we really got honest? Man, I wish I put the effort into raising my child like that. Oh, we don't want to talk about that, though, do we? We don't want to talk about how people get to where they get. People get on doctors all the time. Man, I wouldn't want to live a doctor's life. You got to go to school forever. When they talk about how much money the neurosurgeon makes, they never talk about how long the neurosurgeon went to school. They never talk about that the neurosurgeon only has 10 years to make a living because after that their hands can't operate on your brain, so they get this little window. Nobody ever tells the rest of that story, do they? Ah, they just talk about they're not like me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all listen. I really want you to hear this. As long as you envy someone else's life, you will never find yours. Did you all hear that? That's a profound truth. I didn't write that. God did. As long as you envy somebody else's life, you will never live yours. And you know what? We need your life in Christ. Girls, man, I feel so bad for you all. I got a 17-year-old daughter. I just feel bad for y'all. All these magazines, you know, 17, Wondering, or whatever these magazines are. And the poor adolescent girls, they all got these 98-pound little stick girls on the cover of these magazines. Those aren't real. They're not real. And y'all are from Kentucky. You're going to eat some biscuits and gravy every once in a while. And if you're from Kentucky and eat a little bit of gravy, you're going to have a little more girl with you. It's okay. That's who we are. I mean, where do you want to be from? California, they eat pine cones out there. Pine cones. We landscape with pine cones and they call them California out there. Live your what? Don't try to be somebody else. I have learned that secret to life. If I'm in New York, guess how I talk? Like I'm from Kentucky. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed from being from the South. I'm from the South. I'm not from the East Coast. I don't believe people from the East Coast are smarter. You ever driven up there? They can't even make a road turn right up there. They all turn left. Literally. Look at here. Look at here. Be who you are in who? Christ. We need you. Can you imagine me trying to act like Jamie? I mean, can you imagine me running around in a pair of Ohio State flip-flops? I would look as ridiculous as Jamie does in those flip-flops. Well, just, I don't want to be Jamie. He doesn't want to be me. Can you imagine me trying to be Pastor Mark? Man, I'd have to give me some cool glasses. I'd have to walk some feet. But guess what? We need everybody we need, and we need them to be who they are. I need you to be who they are. Now, hold on. Here's why. When you're who you are, this body of Christ can do what God's called it to do. Can y'all grab that? Man, some of y'all are young. Listen, you ain't got to go through all this silliness. Be who God's made you to be. And if that's what God's made you to be, don't apologize for it. Amen. Let God create in you the life He's always wanted you to have. Well, when you do that, then guess what we're able to do? God restores. Can you remember this? Evil destroys. Evil controls. Evil confines. Evil limits and places limitations. God restores and releases potential. Do you remember that? So if I'm forgiven, I'm released now with the potential of heaven. And look what happens here. He said we ought to have this mindset about us. Brothers, restore each other when you're caught in sin. Look what he says here. Restore him gently who is caught in sin. So what are we supposed to do when we mess up and we sin? Restore each other. Who's in charge of that? Ultimately, God forgives us, but we're to share restoration with each other. So guess what? At Hillview, you ought to be welcomed here to get better. Now, here's my bottom line, folks. Some of you may leave after this. If you don't come to church and get better, why do you come to church? Does that make a lick of sense? I know people that have gone to church for years. They're not even better than they were the first day they ever came. Well, you're not getting it. You get better. You grow up. You move on. You're forgiving. You live this full and abundant life. This world today needs to see a living church. God knows we've given them the institution of religion long enough. They know our hypocrisies and they know our flaws. You know what they have not seen, in my opinion? The ability for Jesus to restore people. So, Hillview, you know what? We'll always be a church. If you've messed up, come here because Jesus will get you better. That's bottom line. How many of y'all glad to know God's going to get you better? Watch this. God will even get you better when you don't want to get better. How many of y'all have ever had that happen to you? I mean, you're over here resisting Him, and what happens? God changes you certainly and definitely. Don't forget that. Well, He goes on. Who should be in charge of this restoration? Those who are spiritual. He says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Now, let me ask you a question. Does screaming and yelling cause you to change? How many of y'all have ever been screamed and yelled at? All football players should have their hands up double, okay? You've been screamed and yelled at. Did that change anything? For some it does. But does it really change us? See, Chase, it really didn't change you. It just got you mad enough to hit somebody. True? But it worked just as well to say, Chase, that little guy around the corner, you need to nail him or he's going to get around for him. Didn't that work just as good? Restore him what? If you missed a tackle, if I talked softly, didn't that work better than if I threw a fit? Watch this. Because after the mistake, you can't correct that one. Why are we as a group of people always harping on others' mistakes? But guess what we can do? We can learn and be restored so we don't have to make that one again. Isn't that exciting? That's grace. We don't have to make that one again. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you all have messed up and just done some things wrong? I mean, just absolutely done things wrong. Any of y'all ever done things wrong and you knew you were doing them wrong as you were doing them? Wow. Y'all are a lot more honest than 8 o'clock. Here's the problem with not being restored. Most of the time, what technique do we use instead of just saying, God, I've messed up and I need to be restored? What do we start doing? Huh? Okay, we can blame it on somebody else. That's a good plan. We rationalize that. What's that called? Lying to yourself. Yes. If you're a politician, you have misspoken. For the rest of us common people, we're just a liar. Now, how do we try? Watch this. How many of y'all have ever told a lie? Come on, let's really get honest today. Oh, really? Nobody in this section over here? Well, y'all just lied. Get your hands up. We've lied. I mean, now, what's the problem with lying? Why does lying get real tangled up? Because if I lie to you, then I got to remember what I told you, and I go over here, and I go over here, and I go over here. And before too long, you forget who you told what, and what happens? You get caught. How many of you noticed that in a lie, you will get what? Caught. Now, when somebody lies to us, you know what we're supposed to do? Restore them. Now, listen, here's what I want to tell you today. If you've been living a lie, God's got a truth that'll change your lying heart. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it? God's got a truth that'll change your lying heart. But yeah, a lot of us have a lying heart. Write that one, Garrett. Make a lot of money so we can pay off the building, okay? I can see you in country music with that hair. You'll have to wear a hat. Look at here. God restores and God brings in possibilities that only He can bring in. Does that make sense? Only God. Attitude here at Hillview. We want others to get better. Always. Restore after we mess up. Prepare to do better. Lock that in your minds. Because you know what we need to do? We need to take a good inventory on who we are. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He said, but be careful when you're helping somebody out of the hole. Watch yourself or you may also be tempted. Now, no. Young people, you listening to me? Sin will not go away just because everybody agrees that it's not sin. Lie number one in American culture today. Immorality is immorality no matter what the vote. Divorce tears up families no matter whether society approves of it or not. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Now, if you've been divorced, what do I want you to be? Restored. But here's what I want us to do. I don't know about you all. We didn't build a building over there. That's a place where young people can get prepared and restored. Y'all in agreement with me? And guess what? I hope when I'm an old man, I got a big old long gray ponytail riding my Harley in here. Because when I retire, I'm growing my ponytail if I still got it. I hope I can look in that building over there and guess what I hope I can see? Well, these kids will be in here as adults. 20 years. How many of y'all realize that the one-year-olds will be 21-year-olds in 20 years? How many of y'all have found that 20 years goes about that fast? Yeah, some of y'all going to be dead in 20 years. What do you think about that? Yeah, some of y'all going to be feeling like you're dead in 20 years because your body's going to be giving it up. Some of y'all who think everything's going to hold up and just be tight and pretty forever, you will be in the first phases of it's all loosening, baby. Okay? Because guess what? God put that plan in to let us know we're not staying here forever. Right. We got a better place to go. Somebody listening to me, we got a better place to go. Now, I want to give you the truth of God today. This is forgiveness. God forgives us and restores us. Pretending that it's not sin will not correct it. You all know what we do with sin. We try to call it different names. If you make $150,000 a year and somebody drinks a lot of alcohol, what do you say about them? They got a drinking problem. Right? Everybody goes, well, now they have a little drinking. It's always a little drinking problem. Heck, if you got a little drink, you ain't got no problem. But see, if you're rich, you got a lot of money, you fit in society, they call that a drinking problem. Because you do that with a martini. Now, if you just good old hard working, you know, what we call middle class, trying to get it done, you know, you a Bud Light, Coors Light kind of person. You just drink cases of it. We call those folks alcoholics. It's okay for middle class people to be alcoholic. We're working on it. You make below $20,000 a year and you drink Cook's on a regular basis, you just a daggum drunk. But it's all the what? You go to a meeting and you got one dude in polo, you got one dude in Fruit of the Loom, and you got one dude, he didn't know what he's got on. And it's all the same. Sin is killing folk. Sin kills people. Somebody hearing what I got to say? It doesn't matter what color the people are. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter if they're Europeans or if they're Kentuckians. Sin kills people, and God doesn't want us living in sin. He wants us living His life because that's where the life is. Makes sense? And He goes on and He brings it out to us. Be a community that restores. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's one way to really act like Jesus? Care about somebody else. Be restored. Watch this. Today, I want to let you in on something. We care that you get saved. Why? Well, we're crazy. We believe if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. So we would be a group of miserable people if we didn't care about you getting saved today. I say, well, Pastor Ayers, can you prove that there's a heaven? Can you prove there's not? Well, I'm an intellectual. What, you think intellectual hell's going to be more fun than dummy hell? Let me let you in on something. Smart people go to hell. God's not impressed with our false, our pseudo-intellect. I've got friends who graduated from Harvard. You let me tell you how smart they are? They paid a lot more money for the same thing you get at Western Kentucky University. They just paid more for it. Now, that ain't real smart, is it? You know, I never figured out what the difference was with, you know, like soap. Soap at Dollar General is the same soap they got at some fancy place. It cleans you the same. Some people are willing to pay $5 so they can say, I have $5 soap. I said, yeah, it looks just like mine. Zest. But we want to be impressive, don't we? We want to impress the world. It's not what God wants from us. He wants us to live His life in the world. Let's check on. Look at here. Let's move on. Carry each other's burdens. Care about somebody. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Now hold on. Before you go taking somebody else apart, you ought to do an inventory of who? Yourself. Listen. Can y'all do something for me? I know you hear this every day. Sometimes it's our fault. And I'm sorry that over the last 25, 30 years, all that you all have heard is how it's somebody else's fault. When you were 4-year-old and you didn't kick the ball, that wasn't because your daddy didn't love you. It's because you were uncoordinated. When you made an F on your math test, it's probably because you didn't study. It ain't your teacher's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. Watch this. Your sin is not somebody else's fault. Guess whose it is? Yours. But what do we want to do? See, here's what scares me. We're going to have a slew. You all know how many that is? That's a bunch. Is that right? You from the South, aren't you? You know what a slew is. Going to be a slew of folk who are going to end up in hell because they played this little victim game in the midst of grace. How can you be a victim when God will forgive you? Because guess what God does? Restores victims. How many of y'all glad to know God restores victims? I'm glad to know, listen, if you're struggling with addictions here today, I got good news. God will not keep you addicted. Amen. He will restore you so you don't have to be addicted. Because think, if you're supposed to smoke dope all the time, God would have put a marijuana cigarette on your diaper. That's not something you need to live. Amen? Y'all please give me an amen on that. A little more fervent, all right? Y'all are going, I don't know, Ayers. Now, come on, huh? Don't get quiet when I get there, amen? Especially some of you old people. I mean, I can't imagine my grandparents toking one laying back. You know, I mean, come on. This is stuff we don't need. But why do we turn to it? We think it'll restore us. It's the truth. We think, man, this is going to give me life. And what do we find out? Come on, let's be honest. What do we find out? It's a lie. It doesn't bring life. How many of y'all found Jesus to bring life? I'm about to finish. Y'all paying attention? How many of y'all found Jesus Christ to bring life? He alone. So let Him restore you. Church, that ought to be our attitude. God will make a new life in us. Restored. Cool? Well, here's what He tells us to do. Y'all ready? Each one of us should test our own actions. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I don't have one of them Facebooks, earlobe books, or whatever books they got. Elizabeth's got one. She tells me what's going on. You know what I notice about this Facebook stuff? How do so many of you have so much time to talk about everybody else's life? Now, you're going to be ticked off what I got to say. It's because you don't have one. Oh, I told you you wouldn't like it. It was one thing when I played sports a long, long time ago in an ancient world before there were cell phones. I was always bothered by a cocky statistician. You know, the guy that kept up with the stats and walked around like they ain't no player. And that's what a lot of us are. We like to keep stats on everybody else's life because we refuse to be a player in the life. It's time to play full and abundant. It's really time to let Jesus play out grace in us to the world. If you really want to know how it works, Jesus places grace in us so His grace can play out to the world. And one of the ways that grace plays to the world is that you and I care enough to make sure somebody else gets better because we live. Maketh sense? Throw a little King James on you. So we got to evaluate our own actions. I don't know about you. My actions aren't always good. How many of y'all ever have some bad actions? Any of y'all ever do that? Me too. How many of y'all have ever said something you wish you'd never said, but you said it? How many of y'all knew when it was flying out of your mouth you shouldn't say it, and for some reason you couldn't jam your jaws up? Or you were typing and you wish you had hit delete, but you hit send. And it was in all caps. And you was the big girl right then. Until the other girl you wrote about met you face to face in all caps. You wasn't that big a girl then. You see, I want to show you something. What if we quit talking about each other and started restoring each other? What would the world be like? There's only one group of people that can do that. I'm looking at them. Those who are in Christ. Because you cannot restore what has not been restored. Isn't that right, Betty Lawrence? If I hadn't been put back together, it's going to be real hard for me to put you back together. Amen? Or show you how to get what? Put back together. And the point is not what you did to get torn apart. The point is what you did to get put back together. I know Jesus will put you back together. Now, we all got to decide to engage. Look at what happens. We're in this together. After you evaluate your own actions, then you can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Our job is not to say, hey, I'm a little better than so-and-so. That's not the job of the spiritual life. Hey, this is the accomplishments in spiritual life. What if you can say this about yourself? I looked a little more like Jesus today. How many of y'all got that going on? Today, I sounded a little more like Jesus. Today, I used words that Jesus would use. You say, what kind of words would Jesus use? Ready? Now, I hate this because sometimes I get a loose tongue. Any of y'all got a loose tongue? Ooh. Sometimes I'm very descriptive. Especially if I'm angry. Because when I'm angry, who's talking?
the parts in me that I will not let be restored. That's why I'm angry. Because I wouldn't have a whole lot of anger if I looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, wait a minute, you've forgiven me for all this stuff already. Why am I shouting at somebody else that's got the same stuff I do? How many of y'all get mad at people that are just like you? How many of y'all hold people to a different standard than you hold yourself? Like, I expect people to be on time, but I'm not always on time. That's not fair. How many of you really care that somebody around you gets better? Be restored. Take considerate inventory of your own actions and compare them to Jesus. I bet we'll all fall in grace that way. And he goes on and he tells us this. Now listen, does everybody have their seatbelt on? I want y'all to strap the harness in here. This is going to blow you away. It's the Word of God. I know it's not popular today. I know this is not a cool concept. But it's just interesting that we would hit here in this moment of time. For each one should carry his own load. Young people, I'm going to tell you right now, you better not listen to the lies of this culture. Everybody's telling you that somebody owes you something. That's a lie out of hell. Lie out of hell. You know what I was taught growing up? If you don't have anything, it's because you hadn't done anything. I still find that to be true. Had to take advantage of the opportunity that was in front of me. If you went to high school and smoked dope all your life for 4 years and didn't do anything with your life, that's why you ain't got a dime. Because you puffed your opportunity away. Now hold on. I ain't going to condemn you. I'm going to restore you. But if you puff your restoration away, eventually you run out of hope. Because here's what the devil does. The devil tells me that I deserve to be saved. The world owes me something. That's a lie out of hell. World don't owe you anything. Why? Because you breathe? Where we get this mess? We've lost our everlasting minds on this one truth right here. Each one should take care of his own what? Load. And together, the world gets better. It didn't say half the folk ought to sit on the wagon while the other half pulls them along. It said each one. Now, this is talking about the community of faith. This is the community of faith. This isn't the government. This is the way Christians ought to act like. And we ought to be distinctly different than the world. See, our attitude's different. Our attitude's not who's going to give me something, but our attitude ought to be, what can I give? John, my attitude ought to be, man, how does John get better when he gets around to me? Not what can I get from John. Now, if you're going to be around sinners, they got one mission. They're like, and they just come and just zap out of you everything they want for their own what? Glory. But when we come to Christ, we can restore other folk. Y'all got that? Everybody does their best to do what? Carry their own load. Now that's the church. Guess what? We got to carry the load here. It's pretty cool, isn't it? That building's going to be paid off before you know it. You know why? Because everybody's going to do their part. You say, well, mine's a little part. Great, it's a part. It's not about little, big, medium. That's McDonald's. In the kingdom of God, it just said what? Carry your load. How many of y'all carry your load? You know why we like to not carry our load? Because guess what we like to do? Girls, don't y'all do this. How many of y'all have seen somebody's always blaming somebody else for their problems? Well, my marriage is bad because my parents' marriage was bad. That's a bunch of bunk.
your marriage is bad because you're selfish and stingy, and you married selfish and stingy, and you fight all the time. Now deal with the real problem. And God can do what? Restore it. If you're married and you're drunk all the time, that's a problem. Am I communicating today? So what do you got to get rid of?
Alcohol.
Thank you, Tyler. Or let's kind of just make it symbolic for all the different sins. What? The problem! How many of us always want to blame our problem on somebody else? Well, I have a bad life because of my parents or because when I love this one. Y'all think Christians are bad. Here, I'm going to pick on some secular humanists. I'm going to be the Bill Maher other side. He likes to bash Christians all the time, make him sound like he's so sophisticated. Bill Maher believes psychologically that your problems are because you flipped off your big wheel the wrong way when you were 2 years old. If you can believe that mess, I'm sure you don't have a problem with a guy who comes back to life named Jesus Christ. Have you ever read some of the psychological theories in the world? You're talking about a stretch. Because here's what they all try to do. Blame somebody else for your sin. You know why? Because they don't have a relief for sin. How many of y'all found this? You can blame somebody else and it still stings the same. But guess what you can do? Let Jesus restore you. And guess what you got to say? You ready? It's going to be a tough line. You want to be restored? Here's the first step in the restoration. It's my fault. How many of y'all it's ever been, it's just your fault? You want to get better, it's your fault. You know what? Sometimes Elizabeth and I have big fights. Guess whose fault it is the majority of the time? Why do y'all say that so quickly? At least contemplate. Pray about it. A lot of times it's my fault because guess what? She wants to restore and I want to aggravate. I have found fighting with your wife doesn't do anything but cost you money. Because you got to buy flowers and stuff and make up. If you do what the Bible says and reason together, then you go on and live together. Sin kills. What's this? It kills everything. Kills everything. Greed kills. Messes up a whole lot of things. Most of all, it breaks our relationship. Envy, conceit, and greed, dangerous bottles to drink from. Stay out of them. Some of you need to say that today. Guess what? These words will change you forever. Lord Jesus, it's my what? I am a sinner and I need your restoration, your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sins. You say, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. I'm an addict. Yeah, I understand. We got a church full of addicts. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Some of the greatest people I know have been addicted to something. How many of y'all are addicted to something? Chocolate chips count. Lay's potato chips. How many of y'all sit down and eat just one of those? That's a true commercial. You can't eat one, Lay's. You'll have another one. Same thing with sin. If you do it a little bit, you'll do it a what? A lot. How many of y'all like it? I am. How many of y'all do this? If one works, 10 ought to really work. It's the mind of what? I'm going to fix it myself. And here's what God's told us today. I am willing to restore you fully. Some of you were brought here today to hear that right there. You need to just say, Jesus, it's my fault. It's my fault. I've willfully sinned against you. And guess what God says? Okay, now we're in good shape. You can hear. And now God's going to tell you this in the name of Jesus. Jesus is going to say, I'm willfully going to save you. How many of y'all know Jesus has got you? He knows right where you are. So, well, he doesn't know me because I don't believe in him. Guess what? You don't change God. You know why? Because you don't last long enough to change God. It's your best. You got a 100-year shelf life. That's why I just get so tickled at human beings who think they know all these things. You're just here for a little while. I'm just here for a little while. How many of you realize we're just here for a little while? God's forever and we're for a little while. But today I get to invite you to be forever. That's restoration. If you'll say, Lord, it's my fault. I'm a sinner. I messed up. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me and come into my life. and I want to follow you. I'm telling you, God will change your life. Today, if you know you're saved, but you haven't been listening to God, why don't you come and say, God, put it back together. If your marriage has been crazy and gone out of line, ask God to what? Put it back together. I know Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall and all of the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put that sucker back together again. It doesn't go exactly like that. Maybe you fell off a wall. You in a million pieces. And you wonder, how in the world can I come back together? I don't know the king's men. I know the king. King Jesus. And since he made you, he can put you back together what? Again. There's some folk that needs to happen to. Some of you need to come and get that baptism thing done with. What are y'all waiting for? Judgment Day? I told Pastor Jamie, I said, we're going to have a run on Judgment Day. Everybody's going to hear the horn and start jumping in the baptistry. Because they're going to want to be obedient to God then. Mr. King, does that make sense? Well, why don't you just go be obedient now so whenever Jesus comes back, you can say, Lord, I did everything you asked me to do. I don't know how to make it any more practical than that. I'm going to tell you right now, it's dangerous to come to Hillview. If y'all go to hell, listen, I will speak up on the day of judgment. Y'all try to blame it on me. And some of you will. Well, Pastor Ayers didn't tell us. I'm going to say, Lord, you know they're lying, but I just want to raise my hand and say, they a lying fool. It was June. I told them exactly they need to repent of their sins. They need to believe you died on the cross to confess that you've risen from the grave and ask you into their life. And they said they'd rather listen to Oprah than you. That's why you're sending them to hell. They can go sit on the couch. I'm serious. It's time somebody get crazy enough to believe this. Some of you today are going to get saved. Y'all okay with that? Oh, it'd be horrible. You get to go to heaven forever. Man, that's awful, isn't it? Your life is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and you're going to be able to live a full and abundant life. What could be so horrible about that? Nothing. So come and let him restore you to heaven. It's the only way to get in. You got to be restored for heaven. All right, closing on this. How many of y'all glad to know because Jesus saved you, you're fit for heaven? Amen. Okay, live like that this week, will you? In fact, think about that. Wait a minute. I am fit for where? Heaven. It's going to be so cool to ride that big motorcycle down a street to go, man. It's going to be so fun. We get to eat chocolate. No weight gain. There's no P90X or CrossFit in heaven. That is in the other location. And it's a hot sauna workout. Don't go there. What's this? Because you don't have to. God loves you that much. Let's stand together. Now pray with me. Pray. Pray for the person beside you, even if you don't know them. Lord, if they're not saved, lead them to salvation right now. If they hadn't been baptized, may they make that move today. God, release yourself. Now listen, everybody pay attention. You can eat later. We don't need any more food. Look around. We're fine. There are a lot of people who need to get saved. I don't see anybody starving in here, but I see some people that aren't saved in here. And so let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, you know who they are. You brought them here today. You encouraged them to be here. You want them to know that you love them. And Jesus, I just confess to you, if they haven't understood clearly, it's my fault. So clear it up right now. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, right now just tell him, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. Lord Jesus, save me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave. I receive you. If you just prayed that, come and just share that with a pastor because we want to jump up and down and give you a high five and say, welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, if you've been following Jesus and you've walked away from what he said, why don't you come back and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I need to listen. See what he'll do with you this week. Maybe you need to come down here because you've never been baptized. You say you believe Jesus, but then you got a contradiction in your life because you won't do the first thing he asked you to do. That's some pretty weak belief. Let's get real with this thing. God got real with us. That was a real cross, not a hologram as real wood. Those were real nails. They weren't symbolic. Jesus' death on the cross is not an analogy or a mythology or a methodological approach to how resurrection occurs. It was truly, literally a physical resurrection. And God said, I'll restore you. So let's be released. Lord Jesus, you lead them, you guide them, you bring us. Lord, thank you for restoring my crazy mistakes. And Lord, thank you for putting us all together and giving us hope, giving us love, giving us peace. So Lord, we thank you for those that you're saving right now. We thank you for those that you're bringing to the altar right now. And we release this altar in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, come forward. Let's talk. Let's pray. Just for a few moments. Come on up here. Let's get it all taken care of today. Come on. Let God restore you. Let Jesus show you what he can do in your life today. Come on, church. Come on. Let him have that marriage. Let him have those children. Let him have that life. Come on. Let him have it. Let him have it.